exactly what is going on, especially when you take it and couple it with the logical outcomes of evolution. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." If people in authority do not believe that the Spirit exists and that all things about us are biological, they are sowing according to the flesh, and they shall reap accordingly. This is why many behaviors now they are treating with medicine. Because, hey, it's nothing more than something that's biological. I want you to think about how evolution has influenced politics and racism. One of the greatest wars of the 20th century, World War II, especially the part fought against Germany. While most, or more Americans, I'll say, especially during World War II, were of German descent more than any other nationality, we were willing to fight the monster of Nazism. But my question is, how was the monster of Nazism born? The seed of Nazism and fascism has already permeated American culture. And it's the American culture which fought so hard to end fascism in Europe. Do you realize how much this seed is in the news? Do you realize how much this seed is used to explain human behavior? Do you realize how much this seed is being taught to our children and our college students in particular? The seed is the teaching of evolution. Now, I hear most Christians say something like, if they hear evolution, they'll say, yeah, they say that things are millions of years old, but they're wrong, and that's about as far as we go. You know, I don't believe it. I believe God created us, so why worry about it? Why get all upset about it? And why put out so much to fight it? Not realizing how much it may be affecting other people, especially people in the church. Evolution is the foundation, or was the foundation, for Nazism and fascism and even genocide in many places. Well, you've no doubt heard of Charles Darwin's infamous book, The Origin of Species, but do you realize that's just an abbreviated title? Go to any bookstore and pick up a copy, and you will find that the full title to his book is this: The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Now, evolutionist George Gaylord Simpson was right when he said in the foreword, which on my paperback copy is right on the cover, they want you to know what this famous man says. He says, "No other modern work has done so much to change man's concept of himself and of the universe in which he lives." And he's right. Although that book was put out in 1859, here it is the year 2005. And just the idea that he put out there, the ice that he broke, the walls that he knocked down, we are still feeling the effects of today. Keep listening as I show you how evolution has helped shape a war that really shaped the last half of the 20th century and on into this century. You know, much of politics in the world today, what America has been about, what Europe has been about, has been because of what happened in World War II. And yet, we are going back to the seed or the root that helped to bring on this war, and unfortunately this time America has joined the world in promoting this evil seed. Darwin put out another book after his Origin of Species in 1859, and this book was called The Descent of Man. It came out in 1871. Listen to what he said here. This, to me, this is frightening. But I see this happening in the news all the time. When I read this quote, I want you to try and think about this if you can during this next week or month and see just how much this is happening, being played out in the world. With savages, the weak in body or mind are soon eliminated, and those that survive commonly exhibit a vigorous state of health. We civilized men, on the other hand, do our utmost to check the process of elimination. We build asylums for the imbecile, the maimed, and the sick. We institute poor laws, and our medical men exert their utmost skill to save the life of everyone to the last moment. There is reason to believe that vaccination has preserved thousands who from a weak constitution would formerly have succumbed to smallpox. Thus, the weak members of civilized society propagate their kind. No one who has attended to the breeding of domestic animals will doubt that this must be highly injurious to the race of man. All of our medical advances are injurious to the race of man. That's a scary thought. That is real scary. Since the principalities and powers in America have adopted evolution, we should not be surprised that they have adopted abortion, infanticide, physician-assisted suicide, and euthanasia. All four of these things are happening in Europe and America, especially in Europe. Darwin had a tremendous influence on the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche because he admired Darwin's work. And Nietzsche sought a super race in his homeland by promoting the idea that inferior races and individuals should be culled from civilization. Now, you know, like with your vegetable garden, you cull the plants that aren't doing so well so that the nutrients and the water and so on can go to the better and stronger plants. Same thing with animals. And he thought that should be done with humans. He believed that religion, especially Christianity and Judaism, were the greatest obstacles to achieving this end. And he's right. Because we believe you ought to help the weak. Jesus said that in Acts 20 and verse 35. We become strong by helping the weak. He thinks we become weak by helping the weak, and that's not true at all. Evolution is also steadfastly opposed to any religion that is founded on the Bible. Therefore, if evolution continues unchecked by us, the church, we should be its greatest enemies, then the consequences upon the church, especially in the future, I think will just be devastating. Later generations will wonder, how come you people back then didn't do something about it when it could have been crushed? The one who furnished Hitler with his philosophical basis for the Holocaust was Nietzsche. Hitler carried out also the full title to Darwin's first volume, that first book. Hitler also sought to implement the philosophy of Nietzsche. Hitler believed that other races should not mix with his race, and you know the rest of the tragedy. In 1947, and I may not be quite right on that date, but it's around the time of World War II anyways, Sir Arthur Keith, an evolutionary anthropologist, conceded the German Führer, as I have consistently maintained, is an evolutionist. He has consciously sought to make the practices of Germany conform to the theory of evolution. Sir Arthur Keith, Sir Arthur Keith, was from Great Britain, and so was Charles Darwin. It's sad that Charles Darwin propagated the philosophy that almost wiped out his homeland in World War II. I wonder if he could have seen into the future, how his doctrines would be carried, how would it influence people if he would have changed his mind. An evolutionary professor of biology at Purdue University tried to weaken this connection between evolution and the horrors of Germany, but then he admitted this: I don't claim that Darwin and his theory of evolution brought on the Holocaust, but I cannot deny that the theory of evolution and the atheism it engendered led to the moral climate that made a Holocaust possible. Now, if that is true, I wonder, is the moral climate for another Holocaust being formed in America? Are we laying the foundation? Have we planted the seed, and are we watering it? All Americans who fought Germany and supported those war efforts ought to be terrified at what is happening right under our noses, including right here in good old Grants Pass, Oregon. And we ought to be willing to engage in spiritual warfare to defeat evolution and to support whatever is necessary to wage this war. I encourage you to remember the words of the Spanish philosopher George Santayana, who said, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to relive it." Have you not read Exodus chapter 1? Why did the Egyptians enslave the Israelites? The Bible says it is because there arose a new Pharaoh in the land who did not know Joseph. And thus everything Joseph stood for, which of course would especially be belief in God. Why did Israel in the book of Judges sin repeatedly? Have you read the book of Judges to see how much Israel just kept falling away from God? And it's almost comical. Yet Judges 2 and verse 10 reveals how it started every time. There the writer said, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work." In this case, in this context tonight, I'm going to refer to the work of creation, which he had done for Israel, or even done for the whole world, and had done for the church. If people don't know that it's creation as opposed to evolution, and thus that there is a creator to whom we must give an account, they're going to turn their backs on him. And they're going to do things that are not fitting, as we indeed see happening in the world. Let us not forget the work of creation and become ignorant of the devastating effects of evolution. Do we realize how much death evolution has brought in the past? Well, just with World War II alone, millions upon millions. And do we know what it's doing today? Another sad thing is what it's done to colleges. All of America's early colleges, I mean, all started back in what we would call the colonial days, were more or less Bible colleges. Some of them were even started to train preachers and ministers. And yet, those same colleges have now become the most influential promoters of evolution in the world, not just in America. For example, at Harvard University, which is one of those old Bible colleges, after Carl Sagan died, the most prominent evolutionist in America was Stephen Jay Gould, and he was at Harvard, which to me just sounds absolutely incredible. Of course, he died a while ago, and I don't know who you would say is the greatest one now, but not that really matters. And it happens to our Christian colleges also. In 1865, the College of the Bible in Lexington, Kentucky, was established by Brother J.W. McGarvey. Some of you may even have some of his commentaries. But 6 years after he died, they were teaching evolution in their biology classes and even applying it to the origin of the Bible. We have the Bible simply because of evolution. The school is now known as Lexington Theological Seminary, and it is run by the liberal Disciples of Christ denomination, who used to adhere to the Restoration plea. Even Abilene Christian University has, in the past, had some teachers who taught evolution. Brethren, our children are taught evolution in schools. When my kids were still in public schools, I examined their school books, especially their science textbooks, and they all taught evolution. Something that was contrary to what I believed, something that was contrary to what I was trying to teach them, and it was all being done at my expense, and it's still being done at our expense. For all these reasons and many more, is why we're having in September a creation seminar. Brethren, we need to realize that we are in a war. Sometimes we just caught up in a war of, you know, the Bible versus denominational doctrine, and that is a war that perhaps needs to be fought, but there's more than one battle. Everything that you and I do, the devil influences with evolution. He tries to touch every segment of our lives with evolution. And sometimes without realizing it, we Christians go right along with it, or just say again, I don't really have to be concerned because it doesn't affect me. But it does affect especially the young people who are around us. Evolution teaches that it was from the goo to the zoo to you. And no wonder people act like the zoo. And no wonder people imitate the goo. Because we all imitate our Father. Christians are to be imitating our Heavenly Father. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul makes a conclusion saying, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Oh, that's a conclusion or an application? Well, what did he say before that led him to say that? Go back up into chapter 4 and starting at verse 25. Listen to what he says as to how we ought to be living. And as I read these passages down through verse 32, brethren, notice that this is all an imitation of our Heavenly Father. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have to give something to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, if I understand that I have been created, and everything that is around me has been created, I realize, oh yes, there is a Creator. And I'll search for Him, because I want to know who created me and why did He create me. What does He want from me? And then I learn about Him. And I'm touched by His love and His grace. So I start to live like Him. I imitate Him. That's what Ephesians 4 is showing. What a contrast. Take what happens from evolution. And take Ephesians 4. Now I ask you, which one do you want to see in society? Do you want to see people living out Ephesians 4? Or do you want to see them living out evolution. I vote for Ephesians 4 any day. On the other hand, evolutionists imitate their father. Therefore, they act like the goo or the zoo. In Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible shows that when Israel left God, they acted, well, not only like animals, they acted worse than animals. And that's what happens when evolution dominates. Listen to Isaiah 1, starting at verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Here's what he says. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. See, here's what happens when Israel left their God. While the ox and the donkey, at least they knew who their master is, but Israel didn't. And that's what happens with evolution. We lower ourselves beneath the animals. And so, that's why he says we become a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, and so on. He continues there midway in verse 4. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? Haven't you learned is the idea? Haven't you read the book of Judges? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. That's what happens, not only in Israel, but in any nation, when they turn from God. Now, whether they turn from God and go to idols, or turn from God and go to evolution, or whatever it is, they're going to forsake living like a passage such as Ephesians 4 shows, and they're going to start living the way a passage like Isaiah chapter 1 shows. I really want to encourage you as much as possible to support our creation seminar. I know that you've had a seminar a long time ago, back probably in the early 90s, but we need to have one again. Whatever you can do to help our seminar be a success, please give your all to it. Of course, that's not the only thing that we can do to combat evolution and promote creation. You know, think of your own ways. Be creative with your thoughts. Whatever you think you can do, it's not wasted. God notices, and there are people around you who hear what you're saying and who see what you're doing. Promote God's way, not man's way. We want to help you. We want to strengthen you. We want to pray for you. Now, whether you've been led astray by evolution or maybe something else, if there's some way that we can help you to become a stronger Christian, then brother or sister, we want to pray for you. We want to counsel with you. We want to read the Scripture to you. We want to do what is necessary. Just let us know. Tell us later or come forward right now as we stand and sing.